I've talked to myself all this week. Yes, I do talk to myself, and I even answer myself sometimes, okay? And someone says, if you're crazy, you got hair in your knuckles, I always look. And I do have hair in my knuckles. And they said that the fact that you're crazy is you're looking for hair in your knuckles, okay? So I heard that when I was in school. So there's all kinds of ways to test whether you're crazy or not. And so, but this week I convinced myself, I want you to look at your handout sheet. Look at both sides, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, I can do this. And then I got thinking, why? Why would I want to do that? Okay? Because we're going to talk about two subjects. We're going to talk about sometimes in the battle we learn something about the battle that we're in. And to tell you the truth, as believers, I'm not necessarily convinced that we even believe that we're in a battle. And you say, well, something happened. No, nothing's happened. Nothing's happened. People say, well, you know, when things do happen in the church, I'm usually the pastor that doesn't address things from the pulpit. Did that work? Oh, good. And so, no, nothing's happened. But I think that as I consider spiritual warfare, and I go back to the early messages that I taught, which was so long ago, is, you know, really the first thing I said is we're in a battle. We're in a battle, and most of the time we don't even believe it. Most of the time we're not aware of it because we don't see military-style components of that battle. When we see scenes like we see on TV and you see a police barricade and you see their riot gear, that brings a whole seriousness to it. If we see, even when you drive around and you see a convoy comes, like every once in a while I see a convoy of Humvees and you see military-style vehicles, you're reminded that we have a standing military. When you see an Apache helicopter fly over, or you see one of the, as I talk about, the black helicopters. And when you saw pictures like I did yesterday of Thompson submachine guns and flash grenades and things, and when I traveled abroad and I traveled to Africa and you go through checkpoints and there's a machine gun nest there with the sandbag ground and it's pointed right at your vehicle. That, you know they're not hunting. You know, what are you hunting today? Well, we're hunting people. Or as we drove up the border road in Malawi, which on the right-hand side of the road was Mozambique and on the left-hand side was Malawi, and as you drove past and you've seen where tanks literally drove through houses, that brings a seriousness to it when you see the bullet holes in the buildings that still exist there. When you go shopping in a shopping center and the person has an AK-47 and he's in a military thing and they're standing and they're guarding, that reminds us that there's a battle. That reminds us that there's people out there protecting us. And so what happens is here we are as Christians. The Bible says that you and I have a ruthless enemy, and he's Satan, and he wants to destroy us. And and Paul's writing, he says, now, here is what we have to protect us. Here's what we have to fight with. And what happens as Christians, it's just like, well, my pastor's in a suit today. And yet, if we would be dressed in military garb, we would say, oh, I think there is a battle. And so what happens is we can talk all we want to about the battle, and Dave Dressler has to realize this too, is that I am in a battle for my very life. And I'm talking about my testimony, the power of God. Amen? And so, as I remind us about that today, I don't want to be, so grim, but I just, as we consider each aspect of what God has given to us, you know, we talked about the belt of truth, we talked about our feet shod, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and now we're talking about this helmet. And so, most people know because I posted on Facebook that I was at the races last night. And so, you know, there was a fellow seriously injured last week. And so the drivers came around in the stands and they had their racing helmets and they were taking an offering up for this guy that's down in the Lebanon burn unit. I mean, the guy's burned extensively. And so didn't think he would even survive. But I'm reminded that, you know, when I see a helmet like that, that was interesting because, you know, it just so happened that the guy that came through our section won the race. And every time I've been to races, he's won. So he's going to start paying me to go to the races because when I go to the races, he wins. Not because I have anything to do with it. But when we see, when we were riding over today to church, I saw a fellow on a bicycle and he had a helmet riding down along the wall. And so what do we wear a helmet for? We wear a helmet to protect our head. What do we wear a helmet for? In the Word of God, when it talks about having a helmet on, what does it mean? Well, we're going to learn something about the battle today, and I just thought, well, if I rush through it, I'm just going to mess it all up. So we're going to talk about the defense of the helmet. And the first one is this. It's the defense against discouragement. Yeah, that's where we're going to park today. We're going to talk about that. As you look at your handout sheet, we're going to see some things. Now, notice the passage that we read. I changed it because the passage in John is going to be the main thrust of message in 2 weeks, where we talk about the Good Shepherd. And so I thought, well, okay, I do that. I pull a lengthy portion of Scripture out and I make sure it's part of the message so that it actually makes sense. But really, the first part of the message didn't have anything to do with the Good Shepherd in that aspect, in those points. But I want you to realize this, is that when Satan battles us, now think about, you know, they didn't have guns, they didn't shoot, they had swords. Satan has a, you know, you say, well, where's this in the Bible? Well, Paul is looking at this Roman soldier and he says to us, okay, this is the helmet. It's going to protect us against Satan. Satan's broadsword has two edges on it. The first one is discouragement. That's what it talks about. Romans 13:11 says this. If you'll, I have it up on the thing there. You don't have to turn there. But Satan is trying to debilitate you and me with the sword of discouragement. Romans 13:11 says, And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. See, his attacks may go like this. Now I want you to think with me. Take you on a journey, okay? If I could do it this way. You say, I'm going to tell you some stories about my life. Because I think there's been times in my life where I have been in the thick of the battle and I've been so discouraged and not realizing that it was Satan that was discouraging me. So you might think this, you know, I give a lot of myself. Talking about you and me. I come to church. I serve. Think of all the people that served already today, right? And that is just the stuff that's up front. But think about all the people that serve behind the scenes. People that are praying. People that are encouraging. And Gary was making fun. He goes, I have to sit out for the next month. I have to sit out. Well, see, the trustee, that's the bad boy, has to sit out. And they make them sit out there in the pew because they've been bad. So when you go out there, that's who they are. They're the bad boys of the ministry, okay? And they ship them out there, right? No, that, I mean, you realize we're in the middle of a city, and there's all kinds of things that take place around us that we're not aware of. Do you realize this? And I don't mean this for anything other than just general information, that at a certain time in the service, a lot of the access doors are locked because people can come in, walk through the ministry, walk through our buildings that we don't know anything about. But somebody has to do that. Somebody turns the lights on. Somebody makes sure that the air conditioning works. Aren't you glad for that wonderful air conditioning? Wednesday night, everybody thought, I'm going to come to church. It's going to be hot and stuffy. And yet, dun-da-da! The pastor finally remembered to turn the air conditioner on. And they walked in, and Dick walked in and said, I'm cold. And it was 90 degrees outside, and we had a cold room at church. We were going to maybe butcher and pack it away there. I don't know. So many things. And so what happens is this is people give to this ministry. Pay my salary, right, Donnie? Got to get that in there. Got to get in there once in a while. Pay the light bill. And so what happens is this. Here's what we do. We give of ourselves. And Satan will come and say, well, you know, you're really not getting anything for that. You're really not getting anything for that. And so what's he trying to do? He's trying to discourage us. He's saying, I think you're full of it. Okay. Now, here's Dave Dressler. I go off to Bible college. I graduate, jammed 5 years into 5 years, got it all out. I left on a high note, walked down front at First Baptist Church, several thousand people as we stood up and said, the Lord's called us to a ministry. People come down, shake your hand, they're smiling, everybody's happy. Friends that you made that'll be friends of a lifetime are crying with you, they're going to miss you. And you go off to, we went off to a ministry down in Tennessee. And I can remember getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going over and running the sweeper at that church because I took a second job to supplement my income, and I would cry because I was so tired. And Satan was having his heyday in my life. I would sit there and say, I can't believe this. I didn't sign up for this. And it took a matter of 2 years to the point where one day I walked into the pastor's office and I sat down across from his desk and I sat there. It was at the end of the school day. And I said, I just want to let you know that I'm not coming back in the fall. And he's in his pastorly manner. And me and Pastor Garvin are good friends today. If I walked in that church today, he would say, Brother Dave's back with us. Come on up, open in prayer. And we would talk, and we would be at that church till 2 o'clock in the afternoon saying hi to everybody. And he said to me, well, Brother Dave, could you tell me for sure if when you're settled on this, that I'll never forget. I looked at him and I said, Pastor Walls, I don't care if I have to work at McDonald's. I'll not teach in this school ever again. I was so discouraged. I was discouraged. I can remember looking out those plate glass doors that faced the pastor's house thinking, why can't I make enough money to feed my family like he does? And you know what that was? That's the battle. That was the battle in Dave Dressler's life. And I was wounded. Because you know what? I didn't have my helmet on. You say what? Because Satan wanted me to be discouraged. That's what he wanted. I can remember moving back to Pennsylvania, following through on those plans. After person said, you know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? And I said, yes. I can remember going back to work at Woodmoan. And for that first year, feeling absolutely miserable. Why? Because I was discouraged. I was beat up. Because, not because of that pastor, not because of that church, not because of anything those people did. I was in a battle. I can remember. And you know what? God knows what he's doing. God comes after his people, not in a bad way, in a good way. He sent the medic out, if I could put it that way. I can remember, I'm working at Woodmoat, and new hires almost all the time got laid off in the fall. I started in the end of May, walked in the door, I'm standing in there, and I'm now 29 years old, and they got all these new guys right out of high school. You know, they're standing there, they're only shaving once a month, and you know, I'm standing there. And they said, when did you get hired? I said, I don't know, I just showed up. You mean you just showed up? I said, oh yeah, yeah. They told me if I ever needed a job, just to walk in the door. And I called them a week before that, and I said, hey, I need a job. They said, just come on in, we'll find some place to put you. Really? Oh, yeah. So I'm standing there. And they take me right back to 50 feet from where I left 8 years before that. And I'll never forget. God sent the medic. There was rumors people were getting laid off. And where I worked, I didn't have unemployment insurance. And I wouldn't have been able to sign up. And I'm sitting there, and every week they came down through and they'd call people out. And this one guy, every week, he'd say, "You're going to get it this week, Davey. It's your week." And I remember that guy's name yet. One day I finally told him, I said, "You know what? You can say that every week, because one of these weeks you'll probably be right." This old guy. Giant Foods opened their new store. Remember when Giant opened their new store? And they had went through there and you did a sign up for all kinds of door prizes and stuff. Well, we went in there and those boxes were just huge and they were just packed. You see that? You know, everybody likes something free, don't you? Well, I signed up and Karen and I won the dryer. Couldn't believe it. Remember that, honey? It was coming up on Christmas time. I hadn't been laid off yet. We didn't have two dimes to rub together. Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't out of church. Oh, no. I was in church. I was teaching children's ministries. I had the ability to walk up and say, "How you doing, brother?" And I have the ability to be excited. And you said, "You know what you're going to say? I wonder if my pastor's discouraged." That's what you're going to say because you put on a good face, right? Yeah, nobody wants Pastor Walker. "How you doing?
How are you? I don't even want to talk to you today."
Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. And so I got a call on a Saturday. It says, "You Dave Dressler?" "Yeah. Come on up and get your dryer. You want this?" I'm thinking, I want a stinking dryer. I got a new dryer already. I don't need a dryer. What am I going to do with two dryers? See, that's me, right? How many guys would think that? How many of you guys would think that? Okay. I got a couple takers here. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know what? Now I got to sell a dryer. I'll probably get $25 for a new dryer, right? Monday came at Wood Mode. I had people, I sold the dryer for $25 less than a brand new one would be. And it's just like, and this old guy at Wood Mode, he didn't know my spiritual condition. He didn't know in my heart how discouraged I was. You know what he said? Didn't even go to church. He said, "Now listen." He said, "Sounds like the Lord's taking care of somebody." I'll tell you what, I cried. Because you know what? I was so discouraged that I couldn't see that God was taking care of me. And so what happens is this, is here's what we are. See, our scripture reading was out of 1 Corinthians 15. Look at what it says there. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," right? See, discouragement's going to come in your life. Are you discouraged? Maybe you teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you come in. I can remember having a Sunday school class where two or three people show up, and then the next week you go down and you're prepared and there's nobody. Right? How about this? You plan and you plan something and it doesn't go the way you want it to. Does that happen? Oh, yeah. See, what Satan wants to do is he wants to discourage us. And God in His Word, and notice this passage here in 1 Corinthians talks about the resurrection. This passage talks about the fact that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Jesus is coming someday. Our life is worth living for the glory of God. Amen? And I can remember, to continue my story a little bit so that it makes sense, I can remember becoming Sunday school superintendent at Bible Baptist Church. I can remember sitting in on the adult Sunday school class, and Karen Gokey's brother was not the pastor at that time, but he was the minister of music, assistant pastor, and he had taught the adult Sunday school class. And I sat there, and God, listen to this, God began to heal Dave Dressler. I can still remember Pastor Downey. We went out for lunch one day, and he said, "You know, you got all the credentials to be a pastor. You got all the sheepskins. You got all the stuff to hang on the walls." And you know what? At that moment, I was just full of fear. You know why? Because I remembered the injury. I remember not having the helmet on. See, it makes sense now. I can remember the injury. And I made this statement in my heart. Not to him, because he would have said, "Man, you're carnal as could be. I will not ever bring my life under other people in them taking care of me. Because you know what? I'm not going to do that." Because I can remember working 3 jobs to pay my bills. I can remember crying and wondering. And when he said to me about ministry, I thought, you know what? I'm going to serve. I can be a deacon. I can teach Sunday school. I can work with children. But no, Lord, I'm not doing any of that stuff. It's because I didn't have a helmet on. You say, now I realize I'm sharing stuff that's really personal with you. I can remember going up to a little country church. Must have been 40 people to hear us speak. And said, "We want you to be your pastor." And it's just like, "Lord, what are you doing?" And you know what? It's all right. Because we can trust God. We can trust God with our lives. You can trust God with your time. You can trust God with your money. You can trust God with your resources. Come on now, amen? You can do that. You say, "Well, you're just preaching so the offerings go up." I want every one of you to believe this today, that right now, Satan can be trying to discourage you and work on you and work on me with the goal that my life not count for Jesus Christ in this lifetime. Amen? That's exactly it. Are you discouraged today? I'd say Satan's working. You say, "Well, I don't want the hands to go up, and I don't..." But here's the thing. I want us to realize that in this armor, we're given a helmet. How many of us believe that God is sovereign? That God's in control of everything. Now, I want you to think that through a minute. Now, I don't like to be personal. I like to tell funny stories about myself. You know, shooting the arrow into the high tension wire and, you know, doing crazy stuff as a kid, you know, trying to sell my brother and actually doing it, you know. Things like that, you know. But this week, we celebrate Alyssa's homegoing. This week, I sat with my boy last night at the races, and it's his daughter, and he said, "Dad, I had the most incredible dream the other night." He goes, "All I can remember is that my daughter hugged me all night." And he goes, "Every time I wake up," he goes, "I wanted to go back to sleep and say, 'Lord, help me to dream that again.'" He goes, "I did." The dream continued. Now, God's sovereign. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that Satan wants to try to discourage people? Come on now, amen? Now, I don't want to play on your sympathies. I mean, it's a fact. This ministry rallied around us. The ministry of Bakerburg rallied around us. And we saw an outpouring of support and love and encouragement that is beyond measure. The world does not understand that. And some of you have suffered the same thing. But watch this. And this is where we get to these truths. And these will go quickly. And now you know why I couldn't just hurry through this. Because I can't do that. Because the only thing about being discouraged is the easiest thing for us to cover up. Amen? Come on now, amen? Because what happens a lot of times is when we're discouraged, that's the last thing we want to do is admit to somebody that we might be weak, that we might be struggling. Amen? And yet, watch this. Here's some truths that we have. And this is where we'll... It says this, we will be like Christ. I think I have the verse right there. Okay? You won't have to turn and look more. We're almost out of time already. Just think if I'd be going to the second half of the message. Okay? Watch this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As you and I live our lives, these are the hopes that we have. What do we have? We will be like Christ someday. Amen? Oh my. The next one is this. We will enjoy endless companionship with Christ. John 14:3, a passage that we all know, where Jesus says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen? You know, Satan wants our testimonies. He wants our lives. And yet a lot of times as Christians, we don't realize what we have in and through Christ. There was this fellow at Bakerburg, Ed Bruley, and he's still alive. He's probably, Karen, what would you say? Ed's probably 90, 91. Loretta, he's just about as old as you are. Right, Loretta? I don't want to tell him. If you want to tell everybody how old you are, okay. But watch this. He used to pray in church, and he would say, Lord, I thank you for what I have in and through Christ. Now, most of you never met Ed Bruley. Ed Bruley lost 3 of his children when they were teenagers. He lost 2 of his children at the intersection of the driveway at the Baptist Church in Covington. Covington Baptist Church. As they were leaving church, they pulled out somebody, I think, rear-ended them, and the daughter was the only one that lived in the car. Debbie has been a missionary in Australia. I've met her and her husband, Tracy, wonderful, godly people, but both her brothers died in that crash. That man's thanking God for what he has in and through Christ. His other son, he had a car dealership, ran across the road and got hit. My. And yet Ed, as I knew Ed Bruley, they moved to South Carolina to be closer to their son. And I'll tell you what a godly man. And yet what a trial that came into his life. Oh my. I would hear him say, and when I found out the backstory in his life, he says, Lord, I thank you for what I have in and through Christ. See, that's where he found the will to live. Because he had his helmet on. He put his helmet on. See, we think a lot of times it's, well, we just don't get along. We just don't get along in church, right? Well, people never get along, do they? Come on now, amen? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what happens? Let me ask something. Have you ever been fried about somebody? Amen? Has anybody ever made you upset? See, I thought you get all fired up, or better yet, that person just fries me, right? Oh, yeah, all you got to do is drive down the four lane. I get fried three or four times before I get to the other end, but I'm not going to quit driving the four lane just because that. So, what we have in and through Christ, we will be like Christ. We will enjoy endless companionship with Christ. Watch this. We will enjoy complete health. See, that's the passage. 1 Corinthians 15, if you go back to verse 42 and 43, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Isn't that incredible? Let me ask you something. I want to shoot straight with you. How many of you are really excited about your health condition now that you're growing older? Oh, yeah, isn't that wonderful? Hey, Doc. I'm trying to help you out, Doc, okay? You know, I remember going to the doctor one time and I have trouble with my knees. And he lays you on the table there and he takes my leg and he goes like this, right? And you know what he says? I'm 40 years old. He said, that's not bad for 40 years old. That's not what I wanted to hear. Okay? Now I'm 60 years old. I gave up even going. No, I go to the doctor, okay? And what they do is they kill chickens and chant. Right? And they say, here, take these pills. What's it going to do? Well, it's going to prolong your life. Oh, okay. I'm working in the back room this week, tearing plaster and lattice out. And Karen was helping me, and I'm down like this. Hey, I can actually get down today. And I get up and go, argh! And she goes, what happened? What happened? I got up. If you think about it, pray for Fred Nicewinder. I think I'm saying that right, right? He would love to come to church. And he takes medicine that he can't be that far away from his place. He said the other day he came, he said, those ear things don't work. We got new. And Larry and I went up and had a wonderful visit. He called this morning, Larry. Pastor Dave, this is Fred. I said, Fred, how you doing? We're praying for you. He goes, I want so badly to be in church, and I just can't make it. I said, Fred, we love you. God knows your heart, and we're praying for you. Come on now, amen? Amen. Isn't it wonderful? We will enjoy complete health. You know, I know there's people that say, well, I'll tell you what, if you want good health, you got to pray for it now, and you got to claim it by faith. And if you don't have good health, it's because you don't have faith. And they're all standing there with glasses talking to me. Oh, if anybody ever says that to me, I'm going to say, give me those glasses, and I'm going to bust them right up. And then I'm going to say, well, what do you do that for? Because claim it, brother, claim it. Come on now, amen? Amen. And then after you break their nose, say, bless God, I'm going to heal you. Say, where'd that come from? You know what? But our non-health and wealth and prosperity preacher, when we are with Jesus, listen, there is no doctor out of a job then. When we're with Jesus, won't it be great? Do something other. And take care of people. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, I used to think years ago that I was just this high-strung person. And then I found out one day, years ago, I got anxiety. And you know what? When I was younger, I could cover it up. Now I walk around like this all the time. And you say, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. I can't wait till Jesus comes, though. Amen? There's no nerve pills in heaven. Hallelujah. Complete health. Amen? And then last today, we will enjoy unending happiness. You know what our world, you know what's wrong with our world? People just aren't happy. People just aren't happy. Look at Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I don't know how many times I thought about that this week. God wipes the tears away. Why? Because there are tears here. Are there not? Karen told me she breaks her silence once in a while. she said, I thought about Alyssa last night and cried myself to sleep. Oh, yeah. There's a song that goes like this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. Amen? Why? Because the former things are passed away, and all things become new. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's it. See, we live in a day. Watch this. I know I'm going over, and I apologize. Okay, you think, well, you don't have anything to say. I have a lot more to say. And as I got thinking about it, I can't talk about it in all in one message. But watch this. We live in one of the most prosperous nations on the face of the earth. We have a wonderful air-conditioned auditorium. We have air conditioning in our homes, and if we don't like air conditioning, we have heaters in our homes. Standard cars come without even knobs to roll the windows down anymore. Right? Come on now. Cruise control to help you get through the speed traps without paying anything. All that stuff. And yet, we are one of the most unhappy people on the face of the earth. You know why? Because things never were meant to make people happy. It's our relationship with Christ. And see, these are the truths that the helmet provides for us. Amen? And as we come to the end, a great day of victory is coming. Therefore, don't let Satan discourage you. Don't let him take away the hope that helps us persevere. That's what it comes to. That's what it is. People say, but you know what? Here's what happens. Here's what people say. That's fine for you, Pastor, but it just doesn't work. It does. See, what happens is this, is we think that when you think about these 4 points that we have, that we still won't ache in our hearts, but we do. But we have the defense against the discouragement as we trust God with it all. That's what it is. Amen? That's what it is. Now, I know you come to church to feel good. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Messages like this don't necessarily make us feel good. But messages like this give us what we need to live every day of our life. Amen? That's what it comes down to. Because we watch medical programs, and most of the time everybody lives. Do you remember that show Emergency years ago? All people had a heart attack and they made it. Oh yeah. What happens when they don't? Well, they didn't say that. Life. Life's tough. But watch this. You and I have a helmet put on to guard us from being discouraged. Let's pray.